Our scripture reading today is Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Well, today is Mother's Day. We're going to be taking a break from our series in Philippians in order to consider a text that is often preached on a day like today, on Mother's Day. And that text is Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. On Mother's Day, we set aside time to praise and honor our mothers. We may give them cards, flowers, gifts. We may prepare for them a nice meal. We may express our appreciation to them, thanking them, recognizing them as our cherished mothers. Surely there are many reasons to praise our mothers, from all the ways they labor to raise us as children, to all the ways they continue to demonstrate their affection and care for us as adults. Our mothers are truly vital to the joy and comforts of family life. Yet for all the reasons we may have to praise our mothers, has it ever occurred to us to praise our mothers for the reason highlighted in today's text? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Among all the reasons that we praise our mothers, we consider praising them for their fear of the Lord. I think we don't appreciate the fear of the Lord as much as we ought to, because we don't have a very good understanding of what it means. And yet, if there's anything in a person that is of true and enduring value, it is the fear of the Lord. Consider today's text. Here, the fear of the Lord in a woman is contrasted with charm and beauty. Now, of course, we know that charm and beauty are two qualities that have always been praised and recognized. Even within the church, a woman's charm and beauty is recognized and honored. How often have we seen ladies in the church gushing over each other's appearance, beauty, charm? I've even seen my 5-year-old daughter doing this. And yet, as sincere as this kind of praise can be, and as much as it may be appreciated, what does our text tell us about charm and beauty? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Charm is deceitful because it impresses on the basis of superficial external qualities. People may be dazzled by a charming woman who may at the same time be quite hideous inwardly, morally. A woman may exert tremendous effort to cultivate the qualities of charm, and as a result, she may possess a charming smile, a charming voice, a charming way with words, a charming sense of fashion, a charming aesthetic, demeanor, bearing. And of course, people will praise her for it. They will say that she is well put together. If she is single, they will say that she is a great catch. They'll say of this charming woman that she is so very classy and elegant, not realizing that they are saying this about someone who may, for all her charm, be godless and self-seeking. It may be that her perfumed and flowery charm conceals the stench of spiritual deadness within. And that is why charm in today's text is called deceitful. It can be very misleading. People may praise charm, but it is of no worth in the sight of God. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Beauty, as we know, is a transitory quality that does not endure. Age will see to that. The effects of decay will steal a woman's beauty away. Her skin will succumb to wrinkles and blemishes. Her hair will turn gray and thin. Her figure will become bent and frail. And as her beauty diminishes, so will her charm. Beauty is vain. It is short-lived. People may lavish praise on a woman while her charm and beauty endures, but eventually it will all fade away. In the sight of God, neither charm nor beauty are of any account. As we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" If charm is deceitful and beauty vain, then the fear of the Lord is neither. The fear of the Lord is not deceitful. It is a reflection of a woman's true character. And the fear of the Lord is not temporal in its value, but is of lasting worth. This Mother's Day, for all the reasons that we will praise our mothers, will we also remember to praise her for her fear of the Lord. As mentioned earlier, we may lack understanding of what it means to fear the Lord, and so we fail to appreciate this quality when we see it in others. So what does it mean for believers to fear the Lord? But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What does this mean, this praiseworthy quality? Well, one passage in Scripture that gives us insight into the fear of the Lord is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. And this is what we read there. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." If our trust is in Christ Jesus, as we read in 1 Peter 1, a ransom was paid for us. A great price was paid to deliver us from the devil's dominion and the futile ways which enslave all who are under his control and power. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as we read in verse 19 of 1 Peter 1. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And so, if we are in Christ, out of all the people of the world, we are God's own, ransomed, redeemed possession. We are children adopted into his household, children who have the right to call on him as Father. And so, seeing that this is the case, how are we to conduct ourselves throughout the time of our exile in this unbelieving world? This world that is under the power of the evil one and who follow him. Well, we are taught to live out our days in fear of the Lord. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. Why are we to conduct ourselves with fear? And the answer is given to us in verse 17. We're to conduct ourselves with fear because our Heavenly Father judges us impartially. That's what we read there. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, we are to fear him because he judges us impartially according to our deeds. That's the reason why we as believers are to fear him. Well, thank the Lord that this judgment that's referred to here in 1 Peter 1 is not speaking of eternal judgment, final judgment, which will one day befall the unbelieving. As we know, we've been delivered from that judgment once and for all through the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as we read in Romans 8:1. So as children of God, ransomed for him by the blood of his Son, we ought not to live tormented by fear of final judgment. That is not the judgment that is in view here in this passage in 1 Peter. And we read in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." As adopted children of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, you're not to fall back into that old fear of final judgment. We have received the spirit of adoption. We are forever children of God in Christ. We are eternally secure and accepted with the right to address God as our Abba, Father. A right which we had, which we did not have before we came to Christ. The judgment with which God judges his own household is not the judgment of condemnation. The fear of the Lord that is commanded of us is not the fear of eternal punishment, because in Christ we have been delivered from that punishment. So what is this fear referring to? this fear of the Lord that is commanded of the household of God. Well, we may have heard the Latin term coram Deo as it applies to the Christian life. This phrase means before the face of God. And it refers to the understanding that we are always under God's searching gaze. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, whether in church or at home, in public or private, God sees us. Coram Deo, before the face of God. And it's out of this consciousness of God's searching gaze upon our lives at every moment that believers should fear God. Our Heavenly Father is always watching us out of concern for our holiness. For the believer, the fear of God, which is commanded of us in Scripture, has to do with the fear of grieving and displeasing our watching Father and provoking His chastisement. This is not the fear of condemnation, of eternal judgment. This is the fear of God's fatherly discipline. This is not a slavish fear. The sort of fear that unbelievers may have when they consider the wickedness and evil of their lives and the prospect of standing before the judgment of God. It's not a slavish fear. It's not a terrified fear. It is a reverent fear, such as what we read about elsewhere in Scripture in Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. This passage is a warning to believers of God's jealousy for the sincere, faithful worship of His children. It is an echo of Moses' warning in the Old Testament to the people of Israel, his warning against their forgetting God's commandments and straying into idolatry. This is Deuteronomy 4, 23 to 24. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. See, it's in Hebrews 12, that's echo of Deuteronomy 4, 24. For the Lord your God is consuming fire, a jealous God. This reference to God as a consuming fire is a reference to His jealousy. If we have turned to Christ in faith, we were purchased for God at so great a price. We are now God's own. We are His holy possession out of all the people of the world. What an immense, infinite privilege, gift. And He is jealous for our hearts. Our God is a consuming fire. If we stray after the idols of the world and prefer listening to the false gods of earthly ambition, acclaim, and pleasure over listening to the word of the living God, if we have been spurning the Lord's guidance and have been insisting on going our own way, even for just a season, If we ignore his warnings concerning his jealousy for the faithful worship of his people, such as what we are hearing today in Scripture, what should we expect? As children of God in Christ, what should we expect? We should expect his judgment, his disciplinary judgment, the judgment of God over his own children, over his own household. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Consider then, brethren, if perhaps God's fatherly chastisements are upon us. There is suffering that comes upon us for the Lord's sake. The suffering we may endure at the hands of a world that is hostile to God, hostile to Christ, our anointed King. And the gospel tells us we should rejoice if that is the kind of suffering we're enduring, because it is proof we are born again and that our trust really is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. There's that kind of suffering. We should rejoice in that kind of suffering. We should embrace that kind of suffering. And then there is suffering that is due to our own evil doing. Suffering that is due to our own irreverence of the living and holy God, whom we call upon as Father. There is suffering, and I'm not saying all suffering falls under this category, but there is suffering, according to Scripture, that is purposed by our Heavenly Father to correct us and bring us to repentance. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 11:32, but when we are judged by the Lord, this is referring to the church in Christ, but when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined. There's a disciplinary judgment. We are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And we read of this judgment in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. That's God's judgment over his own household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? The household of God refers to those who do obey the gospel of God. And there is a judgment for them too. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the judgment of eternal punishment. It is referring to God's disciplinary judgment. It is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And as we read in 1 Peter 1, when the Lord judges his own household, he does so impartially. He doesn't play favorites. Well, we may be accustomed to partial treatment due to our status in the world, due to our own magnetism, charm, and beauty, or because of our connections, or because of our parents who may be highly respected in the church. For these reasons, we may be accustomed to people making exceptions for us, winking at our wrongdoing, indulging certain faults in us that they would not tolerate in others. But not so with the Lord. Our Father in heaven judges his household impartially. In his discipline of his house, he shows no favoritism. So let us conduct ourselves with fear throughout the time of our exile, so as to please and obey our Heavenly Father, and wisely avoid the kind of life that results in much chastisement. For all who have been adopted into the household of God, we have the right to call upon him as our Abba, Father. We have access to him. Free, gracious, confident, merciful access to call upon him in our time of need. This is our right as children of God. No one else has that right. But this right does not diminish the fact that God is always our Holy Father. He is our Abba Father, but he is also our Holy Father. This precious grace that is ours in Christ does not excuse impudence towards our God, towards our Father who dwells in unapproachable light. Those who are inclined to think that it does, who are of God's household, will soon discover just how wrong they are when his merciful chastisements come upon them. Thank the Lord for these chastisements. I thank him for them. If anyone's been chastised by the Lord many, 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 many times, it's me. Thank the Lord for these chastisements, that he is not willing to leave his children without training and discipline so that they become spoiled and rotten in this world. Thank the Lord. Remember, brethren, our Abba Father who cares for us is also a consuming fire that refers to his jealousy over us as his own people, his jealousy over our hearts. As we read in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Remember that whenever we address God in prayer, whenever we approach him. Call upon him, of course, as Abba Father, but never forget that our Abba Father is at the same time a consuming fire. Our mothers may have lost much of their youthful charm and beauty as they've gotten older. But as our text tells us in Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. So they haven't really lost much at all. That is much that is of true value. In contrast, the fear of the Lord is neither deceitful nor vain, but of true spiritual worth. It benefits our sanctification by the power of Christ Jesus who lives in us, and by our sanctified holiness of life, we bring glory to our Heavenly Father who has ransomed us for his own possession. Let us remember this Mother's Day and always to praise our mothers for that which is truly worthwhile in them, the fear of the Lord. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, we pray that we, who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, through true and living faith in him, may heed your words, may listen, and not only listen, but act and do. For as your word teaches us, that those who do your word will be blessed in their doing. And so now we pray this for the comfort and reproof of your people and for your glory in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.